Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Andy, and welcome to this week's Team Kentucky Update. Today, we're going to start where we always start, with our red-hot Kentucky economy, where we're working every day to bring new companies to their new Kentucky home, or to help companies expand in their Kentucky home. Thus far in this administration, we've now announced more than 1,200 economic development projects, created over 62,000 new jobs, and brought in a record $36 billion in new private sector investment. Today, we're going to start by highlighting our manufacturing industry and new growth we saw this week as Powell Valley Millwork officially announced their $29.6 million investment across two projects in Powell and Montgomery counties. The company will retain a total of 214 jobs and create 33 new ones. Both of these Powell Valley Millwork facilities are over 30 years old, and the company is upgrading its operational capacity and equipment to remain competitive in the wood industry. I want to congratulate the company on this progress and thank them for their longstanding commitment to Kentucky. This week, we're also officially announcing that Sumitomo Electric Wiring Systems is investing over $17 million into expanding their Simpson County facility. The project will be creating 76 new automotive-related manufacturing jobs, and the expansion will allow the company to increase their product line, specifically electrical wiring harnesses for automobiles. Sumitomo has been located in the Commonwealth for nearly 40 years, and we want to thank that leadership team for continuing to believe in us. We look forward to even more growth in Franklin. During the last Team Kentucky update, we also announced that Valor Flex Packaging is establishing a new advanced manufacturing facility in Bowling Green. This is an amazing $23.4 million investment, creating 82 quality Kentucky jobs. Today, we are thankful to have the company's president and CEO and Kentucky native, Thomas Hazlett, here with us to celebrate this great news. Would you join us? Thanks for being here.
Governor, thank you.
Thank you for the investment.
Yes, sir. Welcome home. This is a great thing for us. We're glad to be home. I have to thank a few people during this process. When we live away from Kentucky, you sometimes forget what makes Kentucky special and what makes Kentucky's people special. And during this process and the team that the governor has and their support made me realize what I missed the most about Kentucky, whether it be Nashville or in Atlanta. Rocky Adkins I've known since I was a small child, and he's been a friend of ours for a long time. And his help in this project has been more than I could have ever asked for. Jerry Ravenscraft, who is one of the finest human beings to ever grace this earth, it was a big help with that. And he's been a big help to me over the last two decades. Corky Peak at the Economic Development Cabinet, Dave Fulkerson and Ron Bunch at the Bowling Green Area Chamber. Our leadership team, some are here, and our committed employees are excited to call Kentucky home. We looked at Warren County as they have a top five school system in the nation. That's really good for our employees that are coming with us to have an education place for their kids. The vibrant workforce with the new SCKY leadership initiative that they have through the Bowling Green Chamber is something that we're really excited about. And just coming home and being part of Kentucky. And I think our employees are looking forward to that. I really appreciate their commitment, because our employees, who some of them are probably watching in Nashville today, I'm looking at the camera. Thank you. You guys are what make ValorFlex what it is. And we're excited to bring those with us to Bowling Green. And not to steal, Governor, what Bear Bryant said when he left Texas A&M for Alabama in 1958. Mama called and I came home.
All right.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. What an amazing announcement. And I think that's our next new Kentucky home commercial. So, Thomas, thank you for this investment. Now that we've made these new announcements, we know that there are three less sites out there for us to show that next company and the one after that. So today we're also announcing that we are continuing to work to invest in more and more build-ready and job-ready development sites. Kentucky has just made an investment last week in Boyle, Hopkins, Laurel, Montgomery, Pulaski, and Taylor counties. We approved these projects for a total of over $7 million from the Kentucky Product Development Initiative of 2024, our last round. Thus far, we've had the first two rounds, which concluded earlier this year with 90 projects statewide approved for over $85 million in funding. But when you include local contributions, these projects are generating over $512 million. That's the 90 of investments in Kentucky sites and in our building portfolios. It's these types of investments that are why we are winning, why people are picking us, why we can get a company up and running faster than anywhere else. It's pretty simple. We do the work, and we do the work on the front end. And we make sure that we are working cooperatively with our communities, showing them that we believe in them and helping them have the very best site that they can show that next company. Outside of these new companies that we're locating, we're also working to expand in several of our different industries, especially our technology industry. So today we're also announcing that eight innovative Kentucky companies will receive a total of $750,000 in grants and support for their creation of high-paying jobs and to further the growth of the state's technology sector. This $750,000 in state funds match $6.4 million in federal grants. Recipients include the companies on the screen, BA Mays in Louisville, Bump It Labs, Inc. in Bowling Green, Casa Innovations in Bowling Green, Creosolis in Louisville, Hexalayer in Jeffersontown, LaGrange Scientific in Pee-wee Valley, PGXL in Louisville, and Space Tango, which has been around for a while, in Lexington. These companies are tackling today's problems with tomorrow's solutions, helping to make the Commonwealth and the world a better place. We believe in our technology companies in Kentucky, and we know that the biggest technology companies in the world started small, and most all of them are still headquartered in that place they started. This is our chance to grow amazing Kentucky companies that are already doing great work into hopefully that next Microsoft or that next Google, hoping that we will see those types of headquarters in the future coming from these folks right here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So right now, I know because we hear it, that the number one thing on Americans' minds and on a lot of Kentuckians' minds is that things cost too much. Paying the bills is harder and harder at the end of the week or at the end of the month. So as governor, I have stayed laser focused on trying to bring down costs that hit our families. It's why I've signed two reductions to the income tax during my administration. It's why we've helped families save more money on the homestead tax exemption. We froze the property tax on vehicles and froze the gas tax when times were tightest. And now over the last 2 years, we've decreased the gas tax by 12%. And today, I'm glad to share that the state property tax rate is being lowered for the fifth straight year. The 2025 rate will be 10.6 cents per $100 of assessed value, down from 10.9 cents in 2024. Even if it's a small step that decreases those bills a little bit, every step that keeps more dollars in our families' pockets are important. I mean, I think back on that bus drive I took with the Woodford County bus driver. We were pushing for an across-the-board raise, and I remember as she's driving, she was telling me exactly how much her groceries cost every month, something she could barely afford. She knew it to the dollar. She also knew to the dollar exactly how much that vacation she couldn't afford cost. We've got to make sure that we are doing better for our people. And when our people are able not only to buy those groceries, but every now and then take their family on a vacation, you know, that's living our lives. That's supporting our families. And right now, the federal government wants you to think that the only way that you can lower taxes is to leave the most vulnerable behind. But we've proven the opposite. We've lowered taxes and expanded health care. We've lowered taxes and invested in schools and students. We've lowered taxes and invested in build-ready sites across this state to spur economic development. And we've lowered taxes and improved our fiscal outlook. As we've lowered taxes, we've also gotten bond rating upgrades from every major bond rating agency. We've celebrated the largest budget surplus in our history. We're proving in our new Kentucky home, you can provide families relief while still making sure somebody can see the doctor. Because we know that seeing the doctor is one of those other bills that impacts those same families. It's pretty simple. What we've done is put our people first and put politics last and looked at every problem on how we get the very best solution and outcome for every single Kentuckian, regardless of their registration. We didn't get here by kicking each other while we're down. We got here by lifting more people up, getting them into the workforce, getting them productive, and ultimately helping them live a better life. All right, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Stack, who has this month's new Kentucky home.
Thank you, Governor Beshear, and good afternoon, everyone. This month, we continue our journey to a healthier Kentucky, promoting clear and attainable goals to achieve better health and wellness by eating at least 2 servings of fruits or vegetables every day, exercising at least 30 minutes 3 times per week, and engaging with others to stay socially connected. During the month of July, our Healthy Kentucky home focuses on substance use disorders and harm reduction. Substance use disorder, otherwise known as addiction, occurs when an individual compulsively misuses drugs or alcohol despite knowing the negative impact it has on their life. Harm reduction reduces the negative consequences associated with using drugs and is an important component of Kentucky's efforts to promote prevention, treatment, and recovery. Tragically, more than 80,000 people died from an overdose in the U.S. in 2024, and more than 1,400 of those deaths were our fellow Kentuckians. Thankfully, due to Team Kentucky's efforts, the number of overdose-related deaths, though, has decreased by more than 30% across the Commonwealth when compared to previous years. However, a lot of work remains, and we can't let up our efforts until we eliminate the horrors and tragedies associated with drug use and addiction. The pillars of the Our Healthy Kentucky Home campaign are important for those struggling with addiction. Adopting a healthy eating pattern can be vital to recovery. Certain types of whole foods or unprocessed foods, such as fruits, vegetables, meats, eggs, or nuts and grains, provide healthy nutrition to support recovery. Whole foods boost brain health and mood, which can reduce some of the mental and physical symptoms of withdrawal. Even small dietary changes can make a big difference. Along with diet, regular physical activity is essential to the recovery journey. Making physical activity a daily part of your life offers multiple benefits for your mind and body. Regular physical activity increases serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins, otherwise known as the feel-good chemicals that your body naturally produces. Increasing these chemicals can relieve stress, help manage anger and frustration, and improve your sleep. It's also important to build a strong, sober network. This is a trusted group of people who provide practical advice, emotional support, and understand your journey to a successful recovery. To find Kentucky recovery and harm reduction resources near you, please visit the Find Help Now website at findhelpnow.org. There is hope if you or a loved one is struggling with drug dependency or addiction. There are several services and resources ready and available to you. Resources such as Find Naloxone Now can help you locate naloxone, which is a drug used to reverse opioid overdose. By visiting findnaloxonenowky.org, that's findnaloxonenowky.org, you can access over 600 Kentucky locations where naloxone is provided at no cost. Also available is the KY Help statewide call center. The KY Help call center is a free and confidential line providing personalized, compassionate assistance and resources for Kentuckians and their families who are seeking help for a substance use disorder. If you or a loved one is in need, call the KY Help call center today at 1-833-8-KY-HELP. That's 1-833-8-KY-HELP, or visit KYHELP at operationunite.org. To learn more about substance use disorders and harm reduction, or about how to incorporate healthy habits into your daily routine, be sure to visit the Our Healthy Kentucky Home website at ourhealthykyhome.ky.gov. Please join us in the Our Healthy Kentucky Home journey today as we work together to ensure that every Kentuckian achieves better health and their full potential.
Thank you to Dr. Stack. And at a time when we have what seems to be a entirely preventable measles outbreak, having somebody like him giving us the science and the facts when we can no longer get them directly from the federal government is so important. So thank you for taking on this new role as secretary. We need you now just as much as ever. This last week, I know my heart and the hearts of Americans have been heavy thinking about all those lost in Texas. This is a tragedy and a natural disaster of epic proportions when you look at flooding. I cannot imagine all those parents whose girls aren't coming home from camp. And we need, as a country, to wrap our arms around these individuals and be there for them, not just today and next week, but in the months and the years ahead. Sadly, a lot of Kentuckians know how they feel. We've been hit by 14 federally declared disasters just over and over, especially the people of Eastern Kentucky who've suffered such loss, losing 45 children of God in 2022, including four children. I stood at the foundation of what used to be their home, everything gone except a little plastic swing hanging from a tree. That family I know is still hurting. And so these Texans, as they're going through their grief journey, are going to need a lot of understanding and a lot of support. But I do hope that the people of Kentucky can also be a beacon of hope and a ray of light, that Texas can look at us, you know, 3 years later and say, we will rebuild, and that a state can be there for these communities, not just for the short term, but for the long run. That's why I've stood up here week after week, no matter how long it's been, and announced new awards and new help that go to these counties. You know, one of the most important things that we do, in addition to helping the families, is we tell the counties and the cities that I know you've been punched in the gut, but we're going to lift you up, and we are not going to let this set you back. We are not going to let this bankrupt you. We are not going to let this cause you to cut your police or services that you're otherwise providing to your people. You deserve the very best from us. That's why we worked with our legislature to create safe funds after the tornadoes and the flooding in both the West and the East. And thankfully, we all sat down and again put people first, understanding that government has to be there on people's darkest day after a natural disaster. This many years later, we are still awarding dollars from those safe funds to help our people. Today, we are announcing seven more awards, totaling more than $10 million. These are all for financial assistance for cities and counties that have still not fully financially rebounded, but have been able to make it, to keep their people safe, to attract that next business, to not lose their people to other parts of the state or other states. This is an important, solemn obligation we have, and every time we announce it, it's proof that we are walking hand in hand with these communities. Today's awards are $4 million for the Floyd County Fiscal Court, $2.3 million for the Clay County Fiscal Court, $1.8 million for the Letcher County Fiscal Court, $602,000 for the City of Coal Run Village, $600,000 for the McGoffin Fiscal Court, $575,000 for the Union County Fiscal Court, and $80,000 for the City of Hindman. We also have one award from the West Kentucky Safe Fund, $130,400 for Caldwell County. Now, I want to share some videos of local leaders receiving the awards today, talking about the impact that it has for their communities. First, we've got Union County Judge Executive Adam Onan.
On the late afternoon of May 16th of this year, Union County experienced what many across the Commonwealth have experienced over the past several years. Our own EF3 tornado ripped through a central part of Union County that affected about 54 homes. Some were major losses, some were complete losses, a lot of damage. Thankfully, we didn't have any injuries in that. but we were forced to activate our emergency management plan, and a lot of wheels started turning that cost the county a lot of money. We provided debris removal, and we tried to rebuild some infrastructure that was damaged. And through all that process, the county has racked up quite a bill that we've had to deal with. Even in the midst of that tornado, minutes after it passed, Governor Andy Beshear called, as well as Eric Gibson of the Kentucky Department of Emergency Management, and they expressed their concern, their condolences, and their pledge of support to help rebuild what was destroyed in any way that they could be helpful. And so this money, the grant that we've been given to help replenish the coffers of Union County Fiscal Court, will go a long way towards making us whole again. Thankfully, we didn't have any loss of life or any of that. And so, as Governor Beshear reminded me, we can rebuild homes and we can rebuild roads. And so that's what we are about trying to do now, to help the residents of Union County mitigate to the best that we can as county government the damage that they have received. And so just wanted to thank the governor, the Department of Emergency Management, and the legislature for making this money available to Union County to be of help to us, as we are, like most counties in Kentucky, we're pinching every dollar that we have to try to make the most out of that dollar that we can. So thanks to all that were involved, and we'll get busy trying to rebuild as we best we can. Thank you.
Yeah, this tornado was May, I believe, of last year, and it is a miracle that it didn't take a life. I remember seeing a manufactured home that had been thrown and torn apart, and then outside of it, meeting the couple that lived there, I think with their 3 or 4 kids. They were just ecstatic to be alive, even after losing everything they had. And I still remember the kids were eating pizza, so they weren't very impressed by a governor. But just, you know, sometimes even when it's tough, you know, God can be good, and certainly was to the people of Union County. Next, we've got Clay County Judge Executive Tommy Harmon.
I'm Tommy Harmon, the Clay County Judge Executive. On behalf of the Clay County Fiscal Court, I would like to extend my sincere appreciation to Governor Beshear and his staff, and Lieutenant Governor Coleman, and the legislature for providing the much-needed funding for counties that experienced terrible flooding and loss of lives during the February 14 flooding. These funds help with the debris removal, manpower, and getting our infrastructure back as quickly as possible, as well as assisting our citizens. Thank you again for your support and the entire state of Kentucky in this time of need, and especially Clay County. Thank you.
And finally, we have Floyd County Judge Executive Robbie Williams.
Good afternoon. This is Floyd County Judge Executive Robbie Williams. I would like to take a moment to thank the governor, the Department for Local Government, and the Kentucky Emergency Management for the recent award. Floyd County went through a horrific flood in February of 2025. This money was greatly needed for us to help rebuild our infrastructure, and those projects that fell through the cracks is not covered by FEMA. So again, thank you, Governor. Thank your staff for all that you do. We certainly appreciate the funding, and have a good day.
Now, this continues to show our commitment to these communities. They are a big part of Team Kentucky, and I know all the communities around them have rallied to help. As we look moving forward, I'm going to meet in the next week or two with legislative leadership to talk about potential safe funds for our last round of flooding in April, as well as the tornadoes that primarily hit Somerset and London in May. And in that meeting, we'll really have to talk about a range, because each of these past disasters received what's called public assistance. That's the federal government coming in and saying they'll pay 75% of the costs. And so what we're looking at in our last two natural disasters, which would have qualified and easily gotten public assistance before under any president I've served under, but hasn't gotten a decision yet, is the difference between tens of millions of dollars and potentially $300 million that otherwise would be coming from the federal government. Now, while I did not think that the president had approved any public assistance since February, he did just approve it for Texas. And I am glad that he approved it for Texas very quickly. But I hope what that means is that this has opened that program back up, that people are willing to look at it because we have not been denied. So I'm going to be communicating with our federal delegation that have gone to bat for us a number of times. They've worked hard about that, about our need for it and what it means. And I know politics would never come into any of these decisions. But if you think about the fact that I think Laurel County voted for the president about 85% of all voters, Somerset 80%+. I mean, these are folks that are counting on the president that they voted for. And my hope is that he will come through with the same help that was provided in his first term, as well as under the last president. You know, no time for politics when people are suffering, and I hope that we can get this assistance. Now, I think that Kentucky can also be a beacon of hope for Texas, and for North Carolina, and for other places that have been hit, because we are doing something that I don't think you see after these major natural disasters. We're trying to build back smarter, we're trying to build back more resilient, and we're trying to even move people to places that will never flood again, that they will never have to go through this trauma again, and knowing that these weather events just keep coming and coming, and they certainly keep hammering Kentucky. Our rebuild from the 2022 floods, I think, is both the most complicated but also the most ambitious and innovative rebuild that the United States has ever seen. We're moving people from the valleys, from the hollers that flood, up on top of abandoned coal mines where they will never, ever flood. We're building affordable, resilient housing. We're building modern infrastructure to it. And it's being noticed. We're starting to see businesses look at the area. We're seeing people come to see it. What we're doing is fulfilling a promise that we made to everyone in Eastern Kentucky that we would rebuild, and we do it in a way where their family is safer. We think about public safety a lot in terms of crime, but your family's safety is also on the line when we get hit by one of these natural disasters, by flooding, by other challenges, by roads or bridges that aren't safe. We've got to address all of those things so that your kids come home after camp, that your family comes home at the end of the day. And we are continuing to work hard. We have two high ground sites that are now complete, one in Floyd County in Wayland that's housing 11 families so far, though it's worked so well, we're growing it. Another is 10 homes in Letcher County. The work is underway on the two biggest ones, each of which will have hundreds of homes. That's at the Skyview neighborhood in Perry County. A couple months ago, I helped raise one of the walls on one of those homes. It was a very spiritual moment. It was raining, but I didn't care. I mean, to start seeing those walls go up after the hard and difficult and timely work of putting in all the infrastructure, we were raising those walls. Construction is now beginning on Chestnut Ridge in Knott County. There'll be more than 100 homes just on the state part. There is also a nonprofit that's building there that we built the infrastructure up to so they could go ahead and get started early. We've also partnered with FAHI to establish the Housing Can't Wait resource for Kentuckians impacted by flooding. So we are seeing hope and progress. Hopefully we're living out that scripture that says, weeping may linger in the evening, but joy comes in the morning. I got to meet a woman who is moving in to one of those Skyview houses. She got to walk inside it for the first time, and just to see someone that had been far more patient than they should have to be. Seeing a light at the end of the tunnel is pretty special. So today we're announcing another $14.4 million for four infrastructure projects in Eastern Kentucky. These are projects that not only will help support these new high ground communities, but they will make the water systems and other parts of our hard infrastructure in these areas more resilient and to make sure that people continue to get service. These are things like water storage tanks, underground water lines, and that's the unseen damage of natural disasters. That much water moving through will blow out almost every pipe, will sometimes put entire water systems underwater, and we've got to make sure we rebuild in a way that that doesn't happen. So our first announcement is for the city of Beattyville. We're committing $2.3 million to help them rehabilitate their wastewater treatment plant. That plant suffered damage in 2022, though they flooded in 2021 as well. In the weeks after the flood, this plant remained offline. It's really important. It serves a number of businesses, including Lyon First Responder Manufacturing Facility, you know, in multiple Eastern Kentucky facilities. We make the PPE, the big jackets that protect firefighters when they rush into a house to save a family. The facility in Beattyville had been closed for a decade, and we reopened it. And there are now the same number of people that were working there a decade ago, making a good living. It employs over 100 Kentuckians. So we're going to restore this plant to full capacity. We have a video from Beattyville Mayor Scott Jackson.
I'd like to thank Governor Andy Beshear and the state for all the things that they've done for Beattyville so far. We've received the DLG grant for $2.3 million for a wastewater treatment plant. It will also help with the local prison, 800 inmates, 200 employees, Three Forks Regional Jail, 270 inmates and 50 employees. And also, it'll help our line of parole that Mr. Beshear helped us get started back. We've got now 126 full-time employees. And also, never forget him helping me get the box covert for River Drive, $600,000 with no payback. Thank you, Governor, and to the state.
I shorted him by 26 jobs, 126 people working up at Lyon PPE, which actually won an award this year as well. Next up, we have some good news for the town of Fleming Neon that absolutely got hammered in that 2022 flood. Walking through the streets were tough. Every book in the library destroyed. Everything on their main street fully flooded. But we've got good news. We made a number of major investments, and today we're announcing another $5.7 million to replace six water storage tanks in town. These tanks were heavily damaged in 2022, so we're going to help by fixing them, and it'll help them provide safe water to over 940 homes. Next, we've got some good news for Boonville in Owsley County. From our disaster recovery program, they'll receive over $1 million to improve the sewage collection system in town. We have a video from Mayor Bob Rayowski from Boonville on this project that's planned right now. So he's at the South Fork of the Kentucky River, where we're eliminating two river crossings with this project. That means in the future, the risk of polluting the river is significantly lower. This will serve over 200 homes, protect the health of those who live in the South Fork of the Kentucky River, and save the city money. So we're batting 3 for 3 on this project. Thanks to the mayor for sending this video. Our last announcement today is for the Knott County Fiscal Court. Team Kentucky is committing $5.3 million to build a new wastewater treatment plant outside of the floodplain. The 2022 flood was just devastating for Knott County. And they lost the most people out of any county in that flood, including the only children that we lost. It caused severe damage to the wastewater treatment plant, so we're stepping in, and we're doing it in a smart way to make sure that in future floods that this service isn't impacted or interrupted. We got a video from Knott County Judge Jeff Dobson. He's become a good friend of mine. He's done a good job, and it's proof that in what seems like a highly partisan world, if you just put all the rest aside, you can establish a great working relationship and do good things for your people.
Hey guys, I'm Jeff Dobson, Knott County Judge Executive. On behalf of myself and the Knott County Fiscal Court, I'm pleased to share that in addition to the $3.5 million we have received from the state line item budget for House Bill 1 for the Caney Wastewater Treatment Plant, we have now secured an additional $5,366,300 through the CDBG-DR fund, thanks to Governor Beshear and his staff. This is a major milestone, not just for Knott County, but for its entire region. The new plant will serve a wide range of critical institutions, including a daycare, a rehabilitation center, both a grade school and high school, and several local businesses. Most notably, its primary customer is Alice Lloyd College, a vital partner in its efforts with around 1,000 students, faculty, and staff. The college is a tremendous asset to our region, offering high-quality education at little to no cost to its students and an annual $33 million impact to our community. In an area deeply affected by the decline of coal-mining jobs, this project opens doors for future growth, supporting potential expansion of the college. It improves infrastructure for the housing and economic development. Alice Lloyd College has been a strong supporter of this effort, and we are excited for what this means for our community and its future. Thank you.
Thanks to Judge Dobson. That's a pretty good plug for one of his main employers, Alice Lloyd College, which is a great Team Kentucky partner, and especially during and after that flood provided some pretty amazing services. Also went through some significant trauma of their own. So I you know, wake up every day thinking about those families in Texas, but more committed every day to making sure our families get the very best. And again, we'll be pushing as hard as we can to get a public assistance determination, because the people impacted in April through flooding and in May through tornadoes deserve just as much help as every other Kentucky family that got hit on one of the other ones. Let's keep making sure that we don't get tired, but after all these, we give everyone our best. And yes, you feel the PTSD when the next weather forecast comes out. But those that are harmed, we can't be tired. We've just got to be there with everything we've got every single time. So with that, I'm going to give another update on our disaster recovery efforts of the major storms and incidents this year. I'll start with the May tornado event. For those affected by the May 17th tornado, there are still two disaster recovery centers open. They are in Laurel and Pulaski counties. There are state and federal resources there. Unless otherwise noted, they're open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. They're currently closed on Sundays. FEMA assistance thus far on the May event, they've dispersed more than $2.2 million in the individual assistance program, $1.1 million in the other needs. I always point this out. Remember, for those that have insurance on their homes, it's covered when a tornado hits it. It's most often not covered when a flood hits it. And so you see much bigger numbers on the individual assistance from flooding events from FEMA than you would from a tornado, because you first have to go to your insurance company. What that typically means is that more people actually have more dollars, because the insurance coverage is always much higher than what's available through the individual assistance. Sheltering through the May event, we have 33 households being sheltered, 8 in hotels, 25 in travel trailers, 52 households have been transitioned out. Here's why public assistance is so important. When we've had it, we've been able to help people 6 months plus after a natural disaster in travel trailers, sometimes up to a year to get stabilized. We found that that gets them into permanent housing faster. It keeps people in a job. It keeps kids going to school. If we cannot get public assistance, we're footing that entire bill by ourselves. And that means we're going to have to really think about how long we can do it. And you know, that wouldn't benefit these families to have less runway to make sure that they can get everything they need back together. So again, my hope is that we will see a decision on this. Debris removal for the May event, 41,518 cubic yards of right-of-way debris has been collected in Laurel County. The city is doing their own debris removal. The National Resource Conservation Service Emergency Watershed Protection Program is in the process of identifying debris in waterways. When we look at the February event, again, this is flooding. This was the last one that we got individual and public assistance on. But individual assistance, $52 million approved and dispersed directly to our families, $18 million dispersed in other needs assistance. The April event, we did get individual assistance, so the families can get those help. This is flooding. The amount approved and dispersed, $26 million. Other needs assistance dispersed, $16 million. I do want to say we're grateful for that. It's really important to our families, and we always want to put the individuals and the families first. SBA relief. Last week, the U.S. Small Business Administration announced they'd approved more than $12.6 million in federal disaster loans to support Kentucky. And that's everything from April, the April event and the May event. The filing deadline to return applications for SBA for physical property, July 25th, for economic injury, January 26th of next year. Sheltering of those previous, we have 111 people that we are sheltering from, especially April, also potentially February. Jenny Wiley Campground has the most, 166 people occupying 59 travel trailers. Want to thank everyone who has given to the Team Kentucky Storm Relief Fund. It's now raised over $2.3 million. It's paid for every funeral but one. There was one family that doesn't live in Kentucky that wanted the money to come back. They wanted it to be there for the next person that might be harmed. I thought that was a pretty incredible thing for a family going through tragedy to be thinking of others at that time. This week, the fund received donations from Centene Healthcare Plans and Gainwell Technologies. Thank you. Remember, the first thing we'll always do is grieve together, and then we'll provide any and all support we can for these families. Okay, I want to provide an update on driver's licensing, knowing that we've seen long lines, admitting that that is not okay and that we absolutely must do better, acknowledging that this is caused by the intersection of a lot of things. Number one, years ago, our clerks saying they didn't want to do the Real ID, and so the legislature moved both the Real ID and driver's licensing to the state, so we had to create that from nothing. Then we had a bill passed that requires eye exams. And what we saw was because the eye exams are free in our driver's licensing offices, that people started coming in much greater numbers that otherwise used to renew online or through the mail. And then the last piece is I got a piece of legislation and a lot of lobbying from my kids about 15-year-olds being able to get their permits. And so we've got all of these pressures happening all at the same time. So very new regional offices with new people who've been trained suddenly have a lot more volume. But we don't believe in excuses. We believe in responding. So here is some steps that we've taken. First, we've now increased our staff at our 34 regional offices by 125 contracted full-time team members. They have all been hired. They are all in or through training. In addition to hiring more team members, we're expanding hours and we're trying to meet folks where they are. We're going to continue our Saturday hours. We're hosting pop-up events in counties without regional offices. We implemented a new line management system. We're continuing to recruit even more employees, and we're adding more equipment like vision screening machines at each desk. I'm happy to share that they are making a difference. This problem is not fixed yet, but what we are seeing is improvement. Our driver's licensing regional office issued more credentials in April and May of this year than they ever have since we started these regional offices. May set a new record of 130,152 total issuances. That is a 23% increase from the average monthly credentials issued. At the end of June, we now have over 17,000 15-year-olds that have been issued their permits. Remember, they can't get their driver's license any faster than before. They just have more time to practice. And so that's just from April, when it became effective, to June, 17,000. While it's great progress, we're going to continue to work hard. I would really encourage people, before you make your appointment, to go online and to look at all the skip the line options. Listen, if you can afford to go get your eyes checked privately, do it, and you can do it all online. You can never go in. There is zero line for you, and it will be incredibly easy. But there's now also an online quiz because there are other opportunities. You can go in. You can do the eye exam for free there, and you can just leave all your materials, not have to stand in line, and get that credential issued to you. You can also go in, get the screening, get the QR code, go back to your house, and do it all online or in your car and skip that line. So please, there's been a lot of technology added. Make sure you check it out. I'm going to have to get my driver's license renewed before the end of December. So remind me at that Team Kentucky update. And I'm going to make sure that I'm doing the same. We talked about safety earlier. So I want to provide an update on highway fatalities and injuries, because again, that's the safety of our families too. In May, we had a great announcement that in 2024, Kentucky had the lowest numbers of lives lost to highway crashes in 10 years. You know, we celebrate that about 2024, that it was the safest year to be traveling on our highways in a decade. So now we're a little over halfway through 2025, and thankfully, we're seeing even better numbers in 2025 at this point than we did last year. As of July 2nd, we've seen a 23% decrease in fatalities due to highway crashes compared to the same time last year, and we see a 13% decrease in injuries. This means fewer families are having to deal with very painful news. While it's a great sign, we know that each life lost, each family that loses a loved one, that's a child of God taken far too soon. So be careful when you're out there. I know when you get into your car, most likely you're thinking about where you're going and how much time you have. It turns into a routine. But remember, there are lots of other Kentuckians who are loved by people that are out there on the road. So put your phone down, go within or close to the speed limit. Please pay attention each and every time, because if we commit to safety in our actions like this, especially when there's road construction or weather, you know, we're protecting other people. We're living out the golden rule and the parable of the Good Samaritan, even when we get behind the wheel. And this is really personal to me right now, because I've got two kids with a driver's permit and I sit next to them. And I think about every decision they make. I think about every decision that other drivers make now more than ever. So remember, there's my kids and a lot of other people's kids out there. So let's just try to do better each and every day. Next, we have an update from the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs. We've got some of their officials here with us today. In Kentucky, we're committed to honoring our veterans, and that means helping them find good jobs as they transition out of service. Team Kentucky hosts a virtual job fair that takes place every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. As a way to thank our veterans and recognize the challenges faced by military families and veterans returning to civilian life, the first hour of each of these fairs is dedicated to veterans and families. And beginning at 11 a.m., the fair is then open to others. The event is completely free, both for those looking for a job and for the employers. It offers a chance to network and explore new career opportunities. Again, every employer within Kentucky can participate at no cost. So if you're an employer and you're hearing this, and this is something you want to be a part of, come join us. So far, nearly 500 job seekers have registered for these fairs, along with 80 employers. Companies that have taken part include Fisher Auto Parts, Humana, Nucor, Starbucks, the United Postal Service, and the University of Kentucky. They're offering over 1,000 positions. The jobs available range from part-time, full-time, hybrid, remote, and on-site positions. We're talking hourly jobs to six-figure salaries. So if you're a veteran, we want Kentucky to be your new Kentucky home, or continue to be your Kentucky home. And we're going to connect you with more resources than anybody. Moving forward, the monthly virtual job fairs will spotlight Kentucky's signature industries like education, construction, manufacturing, logistics, professional scientific and technical services, bourbon, our EV revolution, tourism, and healthcare. These are good industries with good jobs for Kentuckians or those wanting to move here. You can sign up online now at the KDVA website or by scanning the QR code on the screen. I hope folks take advantage of this resource. Thanks to our KDVA folks for knocking it out of the park, both in customer service to our veterans, as well as wanting to make this the most veteran-friendly state in the country. Now, we want to update Kentuckians on the upcoming Capitol renovation. The General Assembly allocated funding for this full renovation, and we are working hard to make this space the best it can be for Kentucky families and your elected leaders. I'm going to turn it over to Donna Farmer, our statewide project manager, leading this effort, to share more information now.
Thank you, Governor Beshear. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Donna Farmer, and I have the privilege of leading the first full renovation of the Kentucky State Capitol in over 70 years. I'm a licensed architect and project manager with almost 30 years' experience in the architecture and construction industry. The past 4 years serving with Team Kentucky. The Kentucky General Assembly has appropriated $291.5 million for the full renovation of the Kentucky State Capitol beginning this year. The renovation team will upgrade the building's infrastructure, add new safety features like automatic sprinklers, and safer emergency routes out of the building, make the building more accessible for those with disabilities, improve security, enhance spaces for both visitors and staff, and complete numerous maintenance projects that have been deferred over the past 50 years. all the professionals involved in the renovation will protect the Capitol's historic, architectural, and cultural significance. The project will help preserve the historic landmark, so that Kentuckians and visitors can continue to enjoy it for generations to come and continue working together here to build a better Commonwealth. We expect the Capitol to close by the end of August and reopen in 2029. However, the timeline may change if additional needs are discovered. To ensure safety, parts of the Capitol grounds will be closed to visitors during the renovation period. However, many areas will remain open, including the floral clock, the flower beds and green spaces along Capitol Avenue, the COVID-19 Memorial, and the Gold Star Families Memorial Monument. State offices currently housed in the Capitol will temporarily be relocated to offices here in Frankfort. We will have designated pedestrian path and a designated driving path around the Capitol construction area to ensure that families here in Frankfort and visitors from all across the country continue to have a wonderful experience here. We will keep the Frankfort community and Team Kentucky updated on our progress, and soon I'll be back here to share details about parking and detours, the new visitor center, and special projects within the renovation. I'd like to thank you in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work together to preserve this beautiful space for our kids and grandkids. I'll now turn it back over to Governor Beshear.
Well, thank you, Donna. And I actually think you coined a new term, a grand landmark as a grandmark. I think that works. I get to end today on a really happy note for me, which is this week's Team Kentucky All-Star. Tomorrow is my wife Brittany's birthday. She has been the most amazing partner I could ask for in my life. She puts up with a whole lot from me. Because of her, we have two incredible children that give me purpose in life, and to watch how she served Kentucky, especially the children and families of Kentucky, has been nothing short of incredible. She's an amazing mom, an amazing human being, and just the energy and life and light that she brings to our state and to our country. She certainly makes every day brighter for me. For me, she also helps me put on that armor every day in a job where you face a lot of criticism with her and Will and Lila, and maybe even Winnie by my side, or at least by her side. I know I can take on just about anything. She's the only person whose opinion can both lift me up or crush me, depending on what it is. And I would not have wanted to go through life with anyone else. So, Brittany, thank you for what you do. I love you, and you get to be Kentucky's Team Kentucky All-Star, because I'm the governor and I get to choose. Okay, with that, we'll open it up to questions. We have two journalists here with us and three on the line. We'll start with Carolina. Well, the state's going to do everything it can to make sure that people have the accurate, scientific, and medical information, which is they should get vaccinated for measles. This vaccination has gone into hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. It is safe as long as your doctor tells you that it is safe, and it virtually wiped out the most transmittable virus, or one of the most, that we have ever seen. In other words, it's one of the most effective vaccines in human history. We just need to make sure people get vaccinated. You know, if a child dies from measles, which we've seen, that's a child that science and medicine had saved. And we've just got to make sure that however we need to get through, and whoever we need to get through to, we continue to talk, we continue to provide that information, to be patient when we can, but also to press, because we want that child to be okay. I think we're now up today to 12 confirmed cases of measles in Kentucky. That's far too many. I think 11 of them either unknown or certainly unvaccinated, and the other one with just one dose. So fully preventable. Bodie.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
So
we're working right now on a plan that I believe we'll be able to announce soon about a place that groups can sign up for that will be on the Capitol grounds where they can hold rallies, maybe not as large as could have been in the Capitol Rotunda and other gatherings. So we recognize that's needed, and we're working on that, which is within our control. The different executive branch offices are going to different places. Certainly, the Supreme Court, the judicial, is going to a vacant building that they have been renovating and I think have already moved into. We actually had a vaccination site there for Franklin County during COVID. I believe the Secretary of State is moving out into what I call East, which is the Attorney General's office out on Jet on the east side of town. The governor's office is going to be housed both in the old governor's mansion and in the state office building that's across the street. And we'll get you any others.
For all, y'all just had another town hall event this week. There's a few more scheduled out. The characterization that's being made, at least on social media, by the other side is that you're not taking this proposal directly to the legislative branch. The question is, are you actually meeting with any legislative leaders or, by extension, the committee chairs in the House and Senate for the Families and Children's Committee?
It's wild that people would criticize taking a plan directly to the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, which is who we all serve. Those are their constituents. And the other thing we're doing is building the plan with those people. And what we're doing is taking this desire for pre-K for all, but we're taking it to each community and saying, what do you want to see in it? And what we want to be able to do is then take those plans to legislators, because they very often wanted to say, well, if it's your plan, Governor Beshear, we're not doing it. Well, this isn't going to be my plan. This is going to be the people's plan that have been through these town halls, that have been through all these comments. I mean, there's, I know, tens of thousands of emails that have already been sent saying that we want this. This is an attempt to not only break through politics, because this is just as popular with Republicans in Kentucky as it is with Democrats, but to actually do it in a way to where everybody's had a part and everybody's had buy-in. But I'll just tell you, I'll never understand the criticisms of you shouldn't go to the people of Kentucky for what you're trying to do for the people of Kentucky. All right, we got Tom Latek on the line. Tom, it's good to have you again.
Thank you, Governor. It's good to be back. I have a question for Dr. Stack, if I could. And this is a measles question. I'll ask it as he's walking up there. I had the measles myself in the early 60s, and I don't believe there was a vaccine yet. I don't know. I was a kid. I got all the vaccinations when I was supposed to, but I had it. So I guess I am okay from not having to worry about it again. What is the age cutoff that you're aware of about the measles and needing to get them vaccinated?
Sure, Tom. So thank you. So the rough numbers I use, if you're 70 or older, you're considered immune because measles was freely circulating back then. The actual year is 1957. If you were born in 1957 or before, you are good. If you've had two doses of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, you are good. So 70 or older, two doses of vaccine, you're good. There's others, like if you've had measles and you've had laboratory confirmation of measles, then you're also immune. But for most of the public, you're good. The problem is the younger kids these days, that there's a growing number who aren't getting immunized. They're also the ones who get the sickest. And when we have these outbreaks, as many as one in five children under the age of five can end up in the hospital. That's how sick they get. And I know no parent wants their kid to feel bad. So the best way to protect that is to get two doses of vaccine, which are 97% effective at preventing you from ever even getting the disease.
Next, we have Gil McClanahan. Is Gil with us?
All right, there we go. Can you hear me now?
I got you.
Okay, yeah, you can hear me now. I wanted to ask you, you were quoted by the Associated Press as saying that the Trump Big Beautiful Bill would close 35 hospitals in Kentucky and knock 200,000 off of their health insurance. This is a two-part question. How do you know that, and can you cite the source from where you're getting that information? And contained in the bill is $50 billion in rural hospital stabilization. Will that help or have any impact?
So we can send you a number of sources. The Kentucky Hospital Association itself, which is a pretty conservative group, have calculated all of those numbers. This is a billion-dollar hit to our healthcare economy in Kentucky, and that's just Kentucky. So even if every state were to get $1 billion of that rural hospital fund, that'd be less than 10% of the overall hit our hospitals are taking. The 200,000 connects up with, is both from a group we'll send to you, but also connects to the Congressional Budget Office, which scores how much savings there'll be based on how many people lose their coverage, and certainly that can break down in each of those states. But the way they find those 35 hospitals is how much funding do they get from Medicaid as opposed to other sources. Now, if you lose 10% of all of your Medicaid funding, and you're 40 to 60%, Medicaid, and your patients coming in, then you can't afford to keep certain lines open. And what hospitals are already talking about right now, I talked to one the other day that was saying they might lose 200 employees, is what lines are they going to keep? Take delivery, which the margins are really low on. I mean, we could face a situation where if you live in parts of Kentucky, maybe you have one hospital an hour this way, and otherwise you're driving to Louisville or Lexington. What this bill threatens is in late in your third trimester, you stay in a hotel hours away from your husband or partner because you don't know when you might give birth, and are they going to make it there to see the birth of their child? So none of these are arguments. They are all facts. They are all how the bill was scored. The only way they scored savings were people losing their health care. But the economic impact, people aren't paying as much attention to. In virtually every one of these counties of the 35 rural hospitals, they are the second largest employer behind the public schools. They likely have the largest budget, meaning the most money flowing into the community. So if you lose 20% of all the employees there because the number one cost on healthcare is personnel, it's the people that are helping you out, then that is that many fewer people going into the coffee shop, going into the restaurant, or going into the bank. And this is a direct attack on rural America, on our economy, and on our health care. Most of the tax breaks are going to go to very wealthy people that live in big cities. And this is leaving rural America behind. And I get that rural America voted for this president, but he didn't tell them that he was going to pass a bill that was going to punch him in the face and ultimately make it that much harder to get by. Isaiah Kim Martinez.
Thank you, Governor. This is a question for you as well as Dr. Stack. If he has a second, it relates to Medicaid coverage here in the state. I talked with a parent the other day who basically was told he makes too much to qualify for regular Medicaid for his child, but his child is 3 years old, has severe cerebral palsy. Essentially, my question is, I mean, he's in the thousands on the wait list for some of these waivers. If they're on that wait list for Michelle P. HCB waiver and they're in the thousands, I mean, what options do families like these have in the state?
So obviously, because of HIPAA, we can't talk about anybody's specific medical challenges or treatment or coverage, especially if it's a minor, which it seems that it is here. We pushed in every one of my budgets to increase the number of waiver slots. I have good friends whose child waited for years to get on that waiver, and what a difference it made when they did. Every year, the legislature's cut down the new additional slots I proposed, but they have included them. And actually, one year, they increased one of them. So we're grateful for every additional one. We're certainly willing to work directly with that family. But with that specific example out there, I think we need to contact them and work through their options personally with them while respecting the confidentiality of their information. Okay, so we will see you for the next Team Kentucky update the week after next. That is Thursday, July 24th. It's going to be a little earlier than usual, 11 a.m., but we'll still be posting good things from around the Commonwealth on our YouTube and other social media channels. We've got a big following where people can see the different things we're doing on Facebook, on Instagram. We'd encourage more people to subscribe to the YouTube channel. This is our official YouTube channel where you can access a lot of information. And as time goes on, when we see challenging things like lines that are too long at our regional driver's licensing, we're going to be working on posting, say, videos from transportation. And we'll also put it on ours that can walk you through that. We want this to be a resource for news. We want it to be a way that you can communicate and follow us. We also want it to be really helpful for you. Everybody, keep praying for those families in Texas. Have a great week. Remember, if you need to turn off the news and take some time to yourself, take a breath, take a walk. It's a stressful world. Just take care of yourself.